It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. The big news, of course, Microsoft's big acquisition of another gaming company. We also have, I don't know, 1,000 announcements from Microsoft's Ignite conference going on right now. And then Paul and I will talk about the messed up pre-order situation for the Xbox Series X. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly. Windows Weekly comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Securing every access point in your company doesn't have to be a challenge. LastPass unifies access and authentication to make securing your employees simple and secure, even when they're working remotely. Check out LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 691, recorded Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. Bethesda's not just a town in Maryland. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Twilio. Strengthen your customer relationships by uniting communications across your entire business. Get everything you need to build and deliver a new customer experience with Twilio. Go to Twilio.com to learn more. And by Forward Networks. Forward Networks reduces business risk by revolutionizing the way large networks are managed. Their advanced software delivers a digital twin of the network, a completely accurate mathematical model in software. Get a demo at forwardnetworks.com/twit. And by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. Yeah, it's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Holy cow, the biggest news of all. Thank goodness we've got Mary Jo Foley from All About Microsoft here to explain it. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. There is much to talk about. Ignite, first of all, kicks off today, right?
Yesterday, actually.
Yesterday. But you guys are going to be on the air streaming from Ignite in like 2 hours, so we got to hurry.
Yep.
We got to hustle.
Yep.
Holy cow. Hello, Paul. Hello, Mary Jo. Good to see you.
Hello, Leo.
So many things, many rivers to cross. I have to apologize. I apologize. And I apologize to Panos and Chris.
Oh.
I boxed up the duo. It's going back. I can't.
You know, it's not surprising, though.
There's so much to like about it, and I really don't want to discourage them because I want to see a successor, but it's just not ready for prime time, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And the only makes sense if you're going to use it as your phone, and it's not a phone. Mm-hmm.
So, not a phone.
They were right. They warned me. I should have listened.
More often than not, an attempt to create a new form factor doesn't work.
It's hard. Well, what I did is I took the money and I applied it to a Galaxy Z Flip 2, which you said I should have done in the first place. So,
But now you just made it my fault when something goes wrong. But I think that's the better choice of the two for sure.
And well, partly it also loosened up. See, I have this resistance to returning stuff.
Yeah.
Lisa says, don't buy stuff for review. We'll buy it and then just return it when you're done unless you want to keep it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't feel right about that either.
No, it's okay to do it. It is.
If it's not good enough to keep.
I don't always do it.
Yeah. If it's not good enough to keep, then I think that makes, and in this case, I really think it's okay to return it. I think most people are probably doing the same. And then, but it also, I feel like, well, if the Z Flip doesn't make it either, I can return that as well. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Then you'll have money for Christmas. See? Look.
There you go.
I just have kind of a revolving money in my PayPal for devices, you know. So goes up, goes down, usually down. But I mean, if you return something, the money comes back, and you can put it to something else.
Yeah, you know, Microsoft. I will buy the Neo someday.
Whenever, maybe late next year,
if it ever ships. Yeah,
I got to say, I'm a lot more interested in testing Windows 10X.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Than I am in the device. Yes. The dual screen device thing I'm not 100% on board with, but the software, that's very interesting because, of course, if that works, I mean, that could become the future of Windows. I mean, that's, given how that's gone so far, that's a little bit strange to even worry about that yet. But, it's interesting.
I agree.
It is.
All right. I'm sorry, because of my little petty little needs, we've buried the biggest story of the week.
Yeah. Halo 3 ODST is out this week.
I meant Bethesda, baby. Yeah. Somebody was pointing out, I think it was in Forbes, they said, you know, it's not like Sony could do this. Only a company with deep pockets could pay $7.5 billion to acquire a game company.
The same price they paid for GitHub, by the way.
Wow.
About the same as Nokia as well. And it's just things in Nokia. Right. We'll just say that Microsoft is acquiring Bethesda for one Nokia.
That's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more bullish on this, though, than I was on the Nokia purchase. I think this is going to be good. Right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think this makes a ton more sense than TikTok.
Yeah.
Throw that out there. Yep. I mean.
I think it makes more sense than that.
Yeah. This also kind of sends a message about how serious they are about this market, because I think a lot of people, and I've certainly gone down this road in the past, have said that, you know, maybe they should spin off Xbox. This doesn't necessarily make any sense. And then as we move into the cloud era and cloud-based gaming, you kind of see how Microsoft might want to stick with it. But the big dig against Xbox has been game studios, exclusive games, and so forth. And I think I don't remember the exact numbers, but Sony is somewhere 13 or 14, and Microsoft has 21, 22, something like that. I mean, they have more game studios than Sony does now. So And these are some great games.
So Bethesda is, of course, best known. Well, I don't know. I like the Elder Scrolls. That's Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that. They also do Doom.
Yep. They own all the id stuff, right? So it's everything that
all the id stuff. Commander Keen. Nice.
Yeah, going back, you know, Quake, all the Quake games, all the Doom games.
Guys, wait, what about Wolfenstein?
Wolfenstein. The game for beer drinkers. Yeah.
That's the only reason I care about that. The Stein.
Okay. Yeah. The Stein. It's not what you think it is. Yeah. It's been rejiggered several times. It's a kind of a modern shooter now, but it's a
the first game I fell in love with on an Apple II when they had they didn't even have a sound chip.
Castle Wolfenstein.
They didn't even have a sound chip, so all the Nazis were going.
It was Wolfenstein 3D.
Yeah.
And then it was so then when it this turned into
Monday,
Mein Leben.
Can I just say when I saw this announced Monday, I had to wait to write it because I was like, who is Bethesda Softworks? Never heard of them.
Right. Oh, and let's not forget Fallout. Another one I love. Love Fallout. Yep. So this is a studio with some real classic titles. The IP they bought alone is probably worth the $7.5 billion.
Yeah, and they're an ongoing concern, right? These aren't games like retro games from the past necessarily. These are, you know, new Fallout 76 is what came out last year or whatever. I mean,
yeah, it's good. It's fun.
The new Doom is obviously done really well. They're it's a big deal. That's good.
What did Microsoft pay for Minecraft? Like half that, right?
Two point five, maybe.
Okay.
I thought. So, does that sound right, Mary Jo?
They actually bought ZeniMax, right, which is the parent company of Bethesda. So to be perfectly accurate, but nobody knows who ZeniMax is. But
$2.5 billion.
Bethesda Softworks, either for that matter. But
Mary Jo,
yes,
I think some of us do.
I know some people do.
It's a venerated name, actually.
I had never heard of it. I'm not kidding. Like I said to people, I've never heard of it, and they're like, "Come on, you've played Skyrim." I'm like, "No, I haven't."
Oh, Skyrim's awesome.
That's a silly thing to say, but
no, I can't see Mary Jo playing Skyrim, but it is a beautiful game.
I don't
game.
Even know what it is, but okay. Yeah. Anyway, you know, I covered it though because it's an acquisition and it's a big one, right? And I cover Microsoft, so I have to know about it.
Think of the mashups. Somebody's in the chat room saying, "I can't wait for Minecraft Doom."
But now that it's that probably exists. That has to exist, right?
Wolfenstein Minecraft.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the bigger deal, though, is that now because they're a Microsoft studio, these new games as they come out will be made available on Xbox Game Pass day and date, right? So this is really
huge to me.
Part of that cloud/subscription. Push that Microsoft has just started. And this is, we're getting to the point for a gamer where Xbox Game Pass might be getting into no-brainer territory, you know? Smart.
Chat room's having fun coming up with mashups. Pit Fallout will be fun. Knox Harrington says, in the new Halo, Master Chief will be sidelined by an arrow to the knee. That's something. If Mary Jo doesn't know the name Bethesda, she's definitely not going to get that.
You know what? But I know that reference now because someone used it on me on Twitter. So.
Yeah. It's a classic Skyrim line. I think this is going to be very interesting. And by the way, it makes me cry even more that I wasn't able to get the $35 Microsoft Xbox Series X deal.
Oh yeah, you couldn't get it, huh?
The bots beat me.
We're gonna get to that because I also got beat and I'm not happy.
Very frustrated.
Really? Wow.
Oh, those bots.
Yeah, this is a failure of Azure scalability if there's ever been one. What a fiasco.
Well,
that
save
was.
That though. That's because I know you want to spend some time with it. So
yeah,
sure.
We will talk about that. So what does this tell you about Microsoft's ambitions in gaming and Xbox, and how does this fit in with their other ambitions in with the cloud and things like that? I mean,
you know what? Microsoft is in a weird place right now because they are releasing consoles, and those aren't really the primary focus on the future for them, right? And they obviously they want to sell consoles, but hardware is an expensive business to be in. It typically loses money. They're looking for this, you know, the razor blades here in this case, you know, in the back of the day, it was games, and now it's game subscription services to kind of float those customers and make them make sense financially. So what this is doing is stocking up that stable that they have of games that are available via Xbox Game Pass and cloud streaming. And it just makes this entire ecosystem better for gamers. It makes it more of a destination to go to. Sony is doing the same thing they've always done, which, by the way, has worked for sure. I mean, I'm not dumping on that, but they want you to buy an expensive new console and they want you to buy games, you know, and Sony or Microsoft is saying you don't have to buy a console. You can play games almost anywhere. It's only a few places now, but eventually, obviously anywhere. What we want you to do is subscribe to this service and you'll be able to play. And, you know, depending on the capabilities of the system you're using, you'll have, better experiences as you kind of go up the chain. But this stuff works basically everywhere. The Microsoft Studio games certainly do. So I think that's cool. Plus, you know, obviously they're cross-platform already. These guys have PC games that they probably sell through Steam. They have PlayStation games they sell through the PlayStation Store. That's not going to change, right? But, you know, if you have it with the subscription and stuff comes out, DLC for a game, a new game, whatever, you're just going to get that, you know. And like I said, it's not quite no-brainer depending on the types of games you want to play. But before this acquisition, there were 167 games, I think it was, in Game Pass is another 50 plus coming from EA Play, and then whatever the stable is of Bethesda games, it's got to be several dozens of games, you know. So it's definitely going to go over 200. It just tells me they're serious about gaming. And if I know that's a silly thing to say on the verge of a console launch, but we as a community maybe have been doubting Microsoft's seriousness in this market for years, you know, and they've lost each generation so far with the consoles.
But what is lost only means that they didn't sell as many, right?
Yes, but I suspect it also means they made zero money.
Okay.
Xbox as a business has not been profitable for Microsoft.
Well, that's why I'm wondering why they're spending $7.5 billion for a money-losing business.
Because now gaming is going to the cloud, and all of a sudden there's this wonderful convergence with one of Microsoft's key strengths.
Yep.
They are one of the few companies, although, you know, again, the Xbox Series X buying experience suggests otherwise, but that has the capacity and the infrastructure and the will, right, to do this kind of thing. They're going to do it for other companies. You know, back when there was an announcement where Sony was partnering with Microsoft to bring some future game service to Azure, my thought was, like, this could be a big chunk of what is the future of the Xbox business. You know, they may not brand it that way, but providing game hosting services for other companies like Activision or, EA is on Microsoft now. But, you know, there could be other big game publishing studios that want to do this kind of thing as well. Nintendo would be an obvious choice as well, right? The other console maker. They don't have any expertise or capability with regards to cloud computing at all. They can barely release mobile games. So they would be an ideal choice to come to Azure.
You know what's crazy to think about remember just a few years ago, we were all speculating if Microsoft was going to sell off the Xbox division. Do you remember this?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Like, everybody was like, they're not really into gaming. Like, it doesn't fit with the rest of the company. And now look what's happening, right? It's like 180-degree change.
They make these big bets, right? So people forget that Xbox really started before the original Xbox, before it was called Xbox, because they were working with Sega on the, I must say, the Genesis, the Dreamcast. And there was a Windows CE environment in there, and that was going to be a one way that people could make games, and no one ever did or whatever. But I think that taught Microsoft that they needed to kind of control the environment. And the first Xbox was basically a PC. It was kind of technically successful. It, you know, it didn't win the market or whatever, but it did well unit sales wise. The Xbox 360 was the big push. They were going to be like Apple, beautiful white device, super sleek and modern. Huge reliability problems, scuttled that, you know, billion plus, whatever it was on the warranty cost that they just kind of covered for everybody. I don't remember the numbers anymore, but between three Xboxes, I think I got them fixed for the Red Ring of Death 8 times, something like that.
Can you believe that?
Xbox is going back. Yep.
That was a $3 billion write-off, I seem to remember, something like
something
that.
Huge, right? Yeah, something huge.
Yeah.
So, and then the Xbox One, you know, talk about, you know, the starting gun goes off and you fall right in your face. I mean, they blew it from day one, which is too bad because the original Xbox One was kind of a clunker. It's up behind me there. It's a tank. But Xbox One S and then the X especially, those are really elegant devices. They're powerful. Now they're gone, but they got really inexpensive. I mean, and then Microsoft did the whole rejiggering of their strategy, you know, because they had to. But it turned into, I think Xbox has turned into something wonderful for gamers. And it's, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think they're going to do pretty well.
I was torn between the PlayStation 5 and an Xbox, but I think the acquisition of Bethesda.
Wow, really?
Well, I bet I'm not alone either. Because I'm a fan of Fallout and Skyrim. I like the Elder
Scrolls. Yeah, that's why the All Access thing is so appealing. Yeah, so you have $35 bucks a month. You're going to get the console. You own it, right, obviously, after 2 years. And then you get that whole stable of games.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some people, that's going to be like you'll look at that list and say, yeah, this is everything I need.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's an amazing value. You know, if you could buy it.
Yeah, because we did the, if you didn't hear us last week or the week before, we did the math and it's the Xbox is actually a little bit less expensive. If you, you know, you include the bundle cost for the software.
I think it was 40 or 60 bucks less.
You're actually saving money. You're not paying an interest anyway on the hardware. So that's, right. That's a pretty good deal. I mean, I would buy it outright, but actually I'd probably do the pass.
I tried to do both, but I would do either. But
I'll do whatever they'll let me do.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the other thing that's really interesting about that is obviously I know there's a term for this. Like there's an ad on TV for a car and it's super low price. So you go to the dealership and it's like, oh, that one's already gone. But look, we have these awesome ones over here. Loss. Okay. Or you have this notion of like the Apple Watch starts at 99 cents, but you want the one at $600.
Right.
You know, so the thing that's cool about the Xbox All Access is that it's such an easy justification to make. You're not going from spending $300 to spending $500. You're going from spending $25 a month to $35 a month, right? Like that difference is like one trip to Dunkin' Donuts to keep beating to death. That's the same example I always use. But it's like $10 a month is negligible to almost, to anyone who would be in the market for buying one of these consoles. So it makes upgrading to the better one, you know, again, a no-brainer to keep reusing things I always say. But it just makes it, you know, an easier thing, because when I was thinking about paying for these things outright, I'm like, I'll just get an S, you know?
Yeah.
I play on a 1440p set anyway, who cares?
Right.
But $10 a month, like, X makes more sense.
Yeah. Sorry, Mary Jo, it's going to be gaming talk.
Guys, you're going to regret the next segment. That's all.
That's true. She gets it back. Yeah. So, I should say, Mary Jo, thank you for, she never questioned. I put this Microsoft Bethesda thing right at the top. She never questioned it, at least not out loud.
No. You know why I didn't? Because I'm like, let's just get this gaming thing out of the way and get to the real stuff.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. You just, Paul's a pussycat when you let him start with Xbox.
I didn't fight it. I'm like, you know what? Yep. There's a lot of other great stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Well, there is
a lot of other stuff.
There is. But before we do that, should we, I mean, unless you want to do anything more on the Bethesda thing, I think we could take a break.
No,
we'll get to Ignite because that's what's next.
There we go.
Yeah, we're going to ignite this rocket. But first, a word from a brand new sponsor on the show, and I think a sponsor you'll know well, Twilio. We love Twilio. Mm-hmm. It's time to build with Twilio. I've been a Twilio customer for many years because it let me play with various telephonic. I don't know what you would. I should have come up with a better word than that, but play with various communications technologies. But really, Twilio is so much more important for businesses because you can use Twilio to build new ways to help your customers. And I mean anywhere on any channel that they're on. Twilio supports text messaging, emails, phone calls, video. One platform does it all. Twilio powers, the scale is mind-boggling. Twilio powers 795 plus billion interactions across all those channels, five nines of uptime, 99.999% uptime. And you want that. Because, you know, if this is how you're communicating with customers, you want to make sure that channel is wide open. They have 3 billion phone numbers available over more than 100 countries. Twilio is an awesome platform for developers who want to build. Shopify runs their entire global contact center. More than 1 million customers on Twilio Flex. I wasn't even aware of this. This is Twilio's programmable contact center solution. Blue Apron uses Twilio to do their newsletters, their emails. I didn't know about this. Twilio SendGrid. I feel like I haven't really been using Twilio to its full capabilities. Netflix uses Twilio to keep your online account secure with their two-factor authentication. I do use Twilio's Authy, which is our favorite and highly recommended authentication app. But there's a whole back end that Authy's just the front end to. Ride sharing and contactless delivery services like Lyft and Uber, and this is their time, right? That connects riders and drivers over text messaging with Twilio. So when you order something from Uber Eats and you get a text message that says it's on its way, thank you, Twilio. Product and operations teams use Twilio to create new ways to communicate with their users inside their applications, ranging from account notifications with text messaging to chatbots. Yes, they can do that, to securing online accounts with two-factor authentication. Marketing teams love Twilio. They use Twilio to get the word out, connecting with leads over text messaging and phone calls, send campaigns over email, build chatbots to answer questions. All that under one roof. And, of course, Twilio Flex customer service teams love it. Global contact and support centers use Twilio Flex, a fully programmable contact center application platform. And developers love Twilio. I mean, that's what I've been using Twilio for. It makes it so easy. You can control the global communications network with a couple of lines of code. It was built by developers for developers. So if you already know how to build web applications, you know how to build Twilio applications. It's just that easy. You don't have to be a specialized telecom network engineer. In fact, that's how I came to Twilio. I tried some of the other more complicated systems first, and then I said, I can't figure this out. I need Twilio. Twilio makes it easy to build apps that text, chat, call, and video conference. Strengthen your customer relationships by uniting communications across your entire business. There's only one way to do that. Twilio.com. T-W-I-L-I-O. Twilio.com. Twilio. It's time to build. And by the way, it's fun. Oh, my God. The cat came back. I pressed some button now, and I can't. Every switch I push.
I can't imagine why you wanted someone else to do the Ethernet in your house.
There's a cat everywhere I go in my house.
Oh, man.
It's a polycat. All right, now it's Mary Jo Foley's time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk Ignite. Well, actually, you're both part of this.
Yeah, we both have things to say about this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's Microsoft Ignite. What's different this year? besides it being completely virtual and free if you just register,
Mary Jo. Not virtual. Digital.
Oh, big difference.
Yeah, digital. It's virtual. Okay. Are we going to like have to talk about tech intensity too? Come on. anyway, Ignite's divided into two parts for a change. So this week, Tuesday and Wednesday are the big days for Ignite. And then sometime in Q1, we think we'll see part two, which will have more news across the spectrum.
Oh, that's
so
interesting.
In the past.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So they decided to break it up. You know, and that's good because just sitting through yesterday alone and watching the sessions, right. your brain can't consume all that much.
When they said they were going to split this thing up, I thought we were going to have two manageable shows. This is Ignite. So this is the number of announcements we normally get. They're going to do another one of these.
I know. It's interesting. Yeah, we get the book of news last week so we could see the announcements. I don't know how many pages it is, 50, 60 pages of announcements or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you my highlights, what I think are some of the biggest ones. Okay. So there were a ton of Azure announcements at this thing that I think will be really interesting to IT pros. They're adding more Azure availability zones. They've got a new service called Azure Orbital, which is a service for satellite operators who want to connect Azure to their ground stations and more easily process imagery from satellites in Azure. So that's pretty cool if you're a satellite operator or a customer of a satellite operator. There's a lot of Azure Stack news. There were three new edge devices, Azure Stack edge devices. So these are things that let you do compute, network storage, and AI processing in a little mini data center that you can put in a backpack. So, you know, like when you're scaling a mountain and you need Azure at the top of the mountain, you're all set.
I'm going to do some rendering as I head up the hill.
We heard about Fredge coming to Linux at the show finally. So we've heard hints about this forever, right? But we know now next month, sometime in October, Microsoft will be bringing Edge to, I forget which channel, the beta channel, maybe?
So people can start testing it.
sorry, I don't think we know a date when it's coming to the mainstream, but the way they're positioning this is interesting. So they're positioning it almost like Credge on macOS, right? Which is, this is for people who test websites and they need to make sure websites work everywhere with a browser. So Microsoft's not conceding it's the year of desktop Linux. That would be a step too far, right?
Just related to this is not in the notes, but Lenovo announced today that they're going to offer Ubuntu Linux pre-installed on virtually all of their new ThinkPads and ThinkStations, which are the desktop versions of ThinkPads. Yep. That's pretty interesting. Sometime back, and I want to say May or June, they had an announcement about doing this in workstations, and that makes sense because of all the scientific and engineering type stuff you do in Linux. But once you bring them to mainstream devices like ThinkPads, I mean, it's interesting. They are focusing on developers. I want to be clear about that. They're not traditional business use cases or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, all the drivers, all that stuff, it's a big deal. Being able to get Linux on a top tier PC maker machine, I know Dell does this as well, is huge for people who care about that platform. So kind of an interesting coincidence.
Definitely. Yep. What else? Other news. Surface Hub 2S, the 85-inch version. You know, that really, really big Surface Hub, not the 2X, just the 2S. That's going to be available in the U.S. starting in January 2021. So this is a kind of a weird timing thing, right? Like not that many people yet going back into offices. But if you are, or if you have a giant home like a McMansion and you want your own Surface 2 Hub S 85-inch.
And you have $22,000 to spare.
Exactly.
So did you notice how they were marketing this thing, by the way? Because obviously it's a little awkward. Surface Hub is designed for people who are in a room together. And this is the time when no one is in a room together. So how do you justify this?
Talk about that.
And literally it's so big that there's a social distancing thing kind of built into it. Like you could, of course, have two or three people walk up and touch it at the same time. But the idea here is like you could have two different people on either side of it. And they're going to be 6 feet apart. And then when one's using it, the other person just stays over where they are. It's kind of... It's a little bit
is
of a
Is it
push,
exactly but... 6 feet? Like you could use no, it to but... measure social distance?
Yeah. No,
not quite. Okay. Not. So that was a good announcement. Speaking of one of our sponsors, Twilio, that we just heard about, Microsoft is going to be competing with them, surprise, surprise, with a new offering they announced at Ignite called Azure Communication Services. Hmm. So what they're doing is taking the voice, the video, the SMS, text messaging, and calling capabilities that are the same ones that power Microsoft Teams, and they're going to split them out and make them available to developers who want to embed them in their own applications. So, AWS does this too with Chime. And I think Microsoft announced the first customer of this is their own Dynamics 365 team, who's adding ACS calling to the Dynamics 365 customer service app. So that's going to be interesting. They announced a major rebranding because it's not an Ignite without a rebranding yep. for all their security products. So you know how Microsoft has all these different security brands and it's super confusing. Like, what is this? It's got the name Defender. Mm-hmm. Is it this or is it this? So now they're going to try to make it so that they have two security brands, Defender and Azure Sentinel. So Defender is going to be the brand for all XDR products. So XDR is Extended Detection and Response, which is a big cybersecurity term for products that detect and respond to active threats on endpoints. Then they have the other brand, Azure Sentinel, which is their SIEM line, Security Information and Event Management, which is more like a proactive type security set of products. So I think it's good because whenever I see a security announcement from Microsoft, I'm always the first thing I have to do is figure out what is this because of all the crazy names they've had. What else? Project Cortex. How did I not talk about this yet? This is huge. So Project Cortex, Microsoft's knowledge mining service that they've been talking about for a couple of years now, and it was supposed to be out this summer and didn't come out this summer, is going to come out starting in October 1st, but in a very different way than a lot of us had envisioned. They're going to break it up into piece parts instead of make it one giant integrated centralized service. And the first piece part that's going to come out is branded SharePoint Syntex, S-Y-N-T-E-X. So this is the part that's going to help you via machine teaching organize and route and tag and sort your content. So if you have a bunch of invoices or expense reports, you just train the model with five documents and it'll automatically help you figure out how to route, sort, and store these things using Syntex. And Syntex is going to be available as an add-on to any Microsoft 365 commercial plan for $5 per user per month. What else? There's so many things. There's an endless list. Oh, Teams. Okay, yeah, so geez, Teams.
Please. I was going to say, Teams got more features than everything else combined.
It really did. Yep. Like Paul put in the show notes, roughly 1,000 new features for Teams, pretty much. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Every month we hear about new features for Teams, it feels like. Like, you know, a lot of incremental things, a lot of things that they had talked about on the roadmap being delivered. So at Ignite, the list of features for Teams is just, it goes on and on and on for pages. There's all kinds of things around new calling plans, new together mode scenarios. You know, together mode's that weird thing where everybody sits in a thing that looks like a stadium and you can see everybody's heads at once in a meeting. Yep. They're going to have a coffee shop one now so that you can meet in a coffee shop if you'd rather do it that way. And conference rooms, and they're going to have some other similar things like that. Breakout rooms where you can kind of split off a team's meeting into a little private room and have a separate discussion is coming in October, which I think is going to be a very interesting feature for a lot of companies. Touchless meeting experiences for people who do have to go back in the office. They're adding a lot of voice enable capabilities so you don't have to actually go up and touch Teams devices to set up a conference or start a meeting. So that'll be very useful if you're in the office. There are a lot of, they had the head of Headspace, the meditation app, speaking at Ignite.
I'm surprised you brought this up.
Yeah.
I thought it's part of it.
They're building this in. It's weird.
They're building well-being features in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
love Headspace. Was it Puttycomb that was speaking?
It was the guy who used to be the monk.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to be a Buddhist monk. I know. Yeah.
He's a cool guy. Wow.
Yeah, he was cool. It was cool. So, yeah, they're going to integrate Teams with Headspace, and they're going to add something they're calling an emotional check-in experience to Teams. So, you know, there are a lot of companies who have managers who feel like their employees want them to be more engaged in asking them how they're doing and make sure that from a well-being perspective, they're doing okay and not just a productivity score perspective. So they're adding a lot of these well-being features right into Teams. I call them in my write-up touchy-feely features, which I don't think Microsoft liked that much. But, you know, for some people, this is important. And I think it'll be very welcome. Anything else?
Team feature, yeah, there's a meeting recap feature coming to Teams, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's going to
provide
cool.
the recording, yeah. transcript, the chat, and any shared files. I think that's really smart.
Me too.
I'll save this for the Microsoft thing later. But I mean, okay. Teams has the way Teams has evolved is astonishing.
I know.
Outlook for Mac has gotten a huge redo. Oh, it's impossible for anyone on Windows to look at this and not want this on Windows. It's beautiful. It looks like the web clients. It's really nice. Yep. And then you mentioned the touch-free thing for Teams. I have this little Teams display here. That's one of the devices that's going to get that. That's pretty cool. So you can talk to it and, you know, kick off things, which is kind of cool.
I think that's good.
Shared iPad for business. So you can deploy iPads that actually supports Azure Active Directory sign-in with multiple user support, which is, you know, not the way an iPad works normally. I assume Apple did some work on that, you know, to make that happen on the back end. And then, you mentioned the Defender stuff. What else is in here?
Yeah.
By the way, Microsoft Stream.
Office.
Sorry, go ahead.
And Stream. So first, Office. If you're somebody who uses a perpetual version of Office, you know, where you're not subscribing to Office 365, guess what? You are going to get another client. You're going to get one for Windows and one for Mac, and it's coming out by the second half of next year. And if you're also one of those companies who is using Exchange Server, SharePoint Server, and Skype for Business Server as an on-premises kind of thing, you also are going to get a new version next year. But there's a catch.
You're like the Oprah of Microsoft 365.
I know. You get a server. But if you're one of those people who want that server in the second half of 2021, the new catch is you have to buy a subscription license, not for the server itself, but for the support, the product updates, and the time zone patches. And before you say, I don't care about those things, you have to buy the subscription to get the on-premises products. And what were you going to say about Stream? I know there's something major with Stream.
Yeah, so Microsoft Stream is Microsoft's video service for Microsoft 365, right? And, so it's sort of like YouTube. But one of the things, it's cool because it integrates with everything. So I actually used it a bunch this week because I was recording interviews with some Microsoft 365 customers in Microsoft Teams. And so you record the meeting, it goes to Streams. Then I can share it with people I work with or have it set up for that automatically. But the problem is the top level UI is okay. But once you dive in, like I wanted to figure out how can I get this to other people I work with? You would think that would be the simplest thing in the world. And it's ridiculously difficult. Yeah. I spent half an hour with a coworker going back and forth trying to figure out how to make this work seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And then I read the description and saw the picture of what it's going to look like. They're going to make it look like SharePoint / OneDrive for business on the web. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be much easier to deal with. So in other words, they're going to treat videos like they treat documents today in OneDrive. You can select it, say who you want to share it with, just make it super simple. So I don't know the date on this. I guess it's the coming months. So it's one of those things where they're going to transition people over time. I can't wait to get this because based on my experience this week, Stream is a great service, but the UI is a little tough and it looks like that's the thing they're going to fix.
Okay, cool. So there's lots more
Cortana.
And you can, Cortana is getting some more functionality around Teams meetings and play my emails on Android. Yep.
Even on Windows 10 a little bit.
Yeah. Even on Windows 10. Yep. I think those are my highlights. I think those are the highlights.
Well, I mean,
wow. Look, I think we did bury the lead. I hate to say it. This is maybe arguably bigger than Bethesda, but all right.
Hey, Thank you, Leo. Thank you.
It's a big week, obviously, on the Microsoft front stuff. Yeah. And we only talked about
a little
tiny percentage.
I know.
There's so much.
Yeah.
so much. Oh,
where, so can so you can go online. I mean, is this book is for journalists, obviously.
I have, in my enterprise pick, I'll tell you all how to get the details.
Oh, good. Of course. Right? Yeah. And I am going to need a beer after that, so.
I know. I got to add mine in.
You better get to work.
I've got it already.
I frankly feel the need for a beer right now, to be honest with you. I mean, that was exhausting.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
What? No, it's good. I have to say, it feels like Microsoft's firing on all cylinders. And it ain't just, you know, 8 cylinders. I think they have 12, I don't know, 24. Yeah, they got a lot of cylinders. 12
Sadie's Gullwing.
Yeah.
The one thing they didn't really say much around was the developer stuff, right? There was a developer announcement. But honestly, if you step through it, none of it was new. The only thing that you could argue was new is not strictly a developer topic, but Windows Terminal 2.1 preview is available. It's like, you know, minor upgrade to an existing product not generally available was like the one kind of new thing. But, you know, the project reunion stuff, React for Windows, which, you know, is yet another way to create native Windows apps. Not a lot of new stuff there. Separately, Google announced today that Flutter for Windows is now in alpha. Supports it's and it creates native Win32 apps. They may soon support UWP apps as well, by the way. And they made that announcement, I think, during Ignite on purpose to kind of tie it into this stuff. So if you haven't looked at that, Flutter for Windows is kind of interesting. That's something I'm going to be paying attention to going forward, too.
All right, you know what I need to do? I would like to do, because I'm looking at the clock. We got to get you out of there, because Satya's expecting you in about 45 minutes. So let's take another.
Satya's underlings, yes. But
underlings, schmunderlings. Let's take another little break. You know what's cool is, I think the fact that Twilio bought an ad on this show might have something to do with Microsoft. I think what's happening is, we're getting a lot of enterprise companies who say, you know, this Windows Weekly, I think we got some good people listening.
I mean, there's no explanation for why any enterprise company would be interested in this podcast. But
except for Mary Jo Foley.
Obviously.
No.
Obviously.
When we start getting Xbox game ads, then, you know, then we'll know.
Exactly. Call me later.
Our show today brought to you by actually a really great company called Forward Networks. I had a nice long conversation with one of the founders of Forward Networks. It was founded by four Stanford PhD graduates. I'm guessing it was part of their graduate thesis, because they invented a way to apply the principles of modern software development to mapping the network. And they actually make a mathematical, an accurate, precise mathematical model of your network. They do it in software. It's a digital twin. And, man, what a great thing to have. Once you have this, you'll never want to be without it again. I know you think, oh, I know, I got my inventory. It's all in an Excel spreadsheet, or maybe you're using Nmap or whatever. This is like light years ahead of that. And Forward Networks will, because your network really is mission critical at this point, help you reduce network outages. It'll help you with troubleshooting. And my favorite part is you can run a simulation through the Forward Network software when you're about to make a big change in the network or put new gear in or maybe change some routing tables. Boy, I wish everybody would use this. So we get these BGP errors that route all the internet traffic in the world to a small town in Maine or something. This would be awesome. But at the very least, you need this. You can verify your network is configured correctly, is compliant with your policies, is behaving as you planned. A lot of it's hard to keep these maps up to date normally, and it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen normally. But that's what Forward Networks does. They can actually predict with total accuracy the impact of a proposed change across every possible traffic path. So when you're rolling out a change, you can do it knowing ahead of time what's going to happen. keeps your network healthy, keeps it agile. So they've got this great dashboard that provides key network insights with beautiful visualizations. I mean, you can, you at a glance, especially if you, as you use this, you'll get used to it. But you can now look at it and go, I know what's wrong. Instantly. You can export the data. You can automatically create an always accurate network diagram with full details about the topology of your network and every single item on that network. You can search network behavior. You can configuration and state network-wide. It's got a great intuitive search tool, very powerful. You can do end-to-end path analyses across your network. And this isn't just stuff on-prem. This is cloud infrastructure, too. This is everything. You could proactively identify potential connectivity or security policy violations. Know ahead of time. You could verify that your network is configured and behaving exactly as it is intended, as it's designed to do across on-prem, cloud, virtual overlay networks. You can set, check, and customize policies for the entire network. They have this great tool called Behavior Diffs. That give you a side-by-side, it's a diff, but instead of a text file, it's giving you a side-by-side comparison before and after configuration changes. You can see exactly, it's so cool. It's so cool. And let me tell you, they just did this Series C funding, it's almost a year ago now, led by Goldman Sachs, because Goldman Sachs is a customer. They actually were a customer first of Forward Networks, and they said, we're going to lead your funding round here. Andreessen Horowitz, Mark Andreessen, I got to get a quote from him because he loves it. Threshold, that DFJ, maybe you remember by that name. $65 million Series C round in Forward Networks. That is these companies saying, look, this is something everybody's going to need. PayPal used Forward Networks. They found something was going on. They couldn't find the trouble spots. They started using Forward Networks. Suddenly everything is clear. It's crystal clear. You know exactly what's going on. Forward Networks collaborates with a broad range of infrastructure and application technology partners from the world's leading IT companies, the little ones and the big ones. And their customer list, Verizon, Bank of America. Get network automation and verification for your intent-based network with Forward Networks. Your business depends on it, and you got to see the demo. ForwardNetworks.com/twit. Forward Networks, plural, ForwardNetworks.com/twit. We really appreciate them for supporting Windows Weekly. And they know the people who listen to the show are the people who would use this and need this. And we thank you for, if you are going to check them out, using that address so that they know you saw it here. ForwardNetworks.com/twit. Back we go to the show with Microsoft 365 in the know.
Wow.
I didn't know where that came from, but that's back to you, Mary Jo.
No, actually back to Paul.
Paulie.
Yeah, just
Paulie.
So there have been two Windows 10 Insider Preview, we'll call them builds, this week. Let me step back from a second. Last week, Microsoft actually came out and said something they don't usually say. We're done. Yeah.
Yep.
Windows 10 version 20H2. That happened last week. So they were like, do we think this is it? You know, obviously there was one major bug related to WSL that they had to fix. And then this past probably Tuesday, they updated it and there it is. And so no word yet on exactly how it's going to roll out, but it's going to be updated with something called the October 2020 update. So October, presumably, based on the name or based on history, December. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, they actually kind of said, look, we're done.
Wow.
So, I know. Yeah. That was refreshing to hear them say
they
that.
They didn't go so far as to say we have a gold master, though.
No.
They didn't say RTM. They did not.
Not RTM. None of that.
No.
Yeah. No, but they literally said, we think this is it.
Wow, you know, that's great.
And then they fixed some bugs and, you know, so we'll see.
This is the minor bug release fix for, 2004. Yep. Much needed.
Yep.
Okay, good.
And then just today, they released a new build in the dev channel, which means this will probably show up next year, but I guess we'll see. A feature that had debuted first in Skype called Meet Now, M-E-E-T, not... anti-vegan now. which is a way from the taskbar in Windows 10 to start meetings using Skype with just a couple of clicks without even have to, you don't have to worry about your Microsoft account. It's just a way to get in and out really quickly. That sounds like a good idea to me. When I first saw it, I thought, this reminds me of the People Hub a little bit. And in a weird coincidence, or the people, whatever that people button thing was in the, you know, that we had for a couple of versions there. In a weird coincidence, they also announced, buried that blog post, that the People app is going away in Windows 10 as a standalone app. So you won't see it in the start menu anymore. Oh, but it's still in there because they don't really talk about this too much. But Windows Mail, Calendar, and People are technically the same app. They're all updated together as one thing.
Oh, okay.
And what they found was that 90-something percent of people who access People, which is just an interface to contacts, right, would do that from the Mail app or from the Calendar app anyway, which makes sense.
That's when you want to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still it will still be available from there. It's not really going away, but they're not going to make it externally available anymore. So I don't think that's a big deal.
I like the Meet Now because everybody who uses Zoom in my family for video calls and chats, they're always like, it's so easy compared to Skype. So they're trying to make it front and center, like it's right on your desktop, right? Like
I don't think that's true, by the way.
You don't?
No, if you go to Skype.com, you can start a meeting really quick. If you want to just do it from the web.
You can, because you're a super pro. We're talking Mary Jo's family.
Can you call me and tell me how to use Skype before we get on the call? Mm-hmm.
See? It's good to have a button. Although I'm a little disappointed because that was going to be the name of our new barbecue show.
It's good to have a button.
No, Meet Now.
Meet Now. Nice.
Meet tomorrow, mostly, is in the case of my smoker.
Right.
Nice.
Why aren't there any?
So here's the thing.
Microsoft widgets on iOS 14. Shipped
iOS 14, right, which has support for widgets, which are awesome. And all of a sudden, you're seeing like this huge wellspring of people playing with widgets, posting what their screen, you know, their home screen looks like now.
I love it.
I'm sure Apple is like, why did we wait so long to do this?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because Apple will often roll out a feature that everybody goes, huh? But this one, holy cow.
So here's the thing. Microsoft had this 10 years ago. It was called the Live Tile.
I know.
This was
these aren't even as live as Microsoft's Live Tiles.
Yeah. So Microsoft, against all reason, has Live Tiles in Windows 10 for some reason on desktop where it doesn't make any sense. But hearing that this thing was coming, why aren't there?
Right.
Like an Outlook tile that has your next three emails in it, or a calendar, or, you know, all the things that they could do.
They will.
And they kind of will, because what they've come out and said is, yeah, we have two planned. We're going to do one for OneDrive that's tied only to photos.
Oh, boring.
And we're going to do one for Outlook that's tied only to your calendar. And it's like, okay, but
These aren't that hard to do. I'm kind of surprised. No,
this is how you could turn an iPhone into a Microsoft phone.
Right.
And it would look like Windows Phone. You could have different size tiles, different shapes, you know. This is a missed opportunity. And I feel like Microsoft is one of the few companies that has a lot of experience with these kind of at-a-glance UIs, and they could have done something special there. And I'm sure they will over time.
Yeah, I'm using a lot of these widgets.
Yeah.
They're not as live as the Live Tiles.
Yes, that's true.
They're kind of more static.
They're really nice looking.
But they work well. And you know what? Apple threw this out really early, and I think that just a lot of companies were caught off guard. More and more companies are coming up with widgets as time goes by.
Don't defend the indefensible. No. I feel like Microsoft is one of the – I mean, come on. They're one of the companies that would have – you know, they knew this was coming.
Like, do you think there's any hard feelings over the xCloud?
Oh, Xbox thing? Yeah. Oh, man, really?
That maybe they're a little less excited about –
Yeah. Yes and no, because you got to. It's important not to think of Microsoft as this one thing. You know, the guys who were working in the Microsoft 365 org on Outlook Mobile and all these mobile apps that Microsoft has. Yeah, I'm sure they're sort of aware that this is happening and it's too bad and blah blah blah. But that's not driving product strategy for those guys, and it would be dumb if it did. So,
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but
yeah.
I don't think so.
No. And I think Nadella has basically already said, look, this is an important platform for us.
Well, so part of the impetus for this thing that I wrote was also you got to remember that there's a Your Phone app in Windows 10 that's really good if you have an Android phone.
Can't do it on iOS.
Except Dell does it. Dell has an app that does all that stuff.
Really?
You can get iPhone phone calls, iPhone messages, iPhone photos. I mean, I'm sure they bought it from a third party. I'm sure they did. But whatever, they offer it with their PCs.
Oh, I had no idea. That's weird. I thought you just couldn't do it.
Right. That's the excuse everyone gives Microsoft. And it's like, somebody's doing it. Why aren't you doing it? You're forging ahead with all these incredible features for Android users, which is fine, but you're leaving out 50% of your market. And they've ignored this for years, I should connect one someday to see what's happening these days, but I think the only thing you can really do of use with an iPhone is look at your pictures.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, when they do Your Phone for Ubuntu, let me know.
You'll be there.
Just teasing.
That's going to be a.
Are you going to run creds on Ubuntu though?
I know. Wow. That's weird.
No.
No. There's really only there are a couple of open source browsers. If you're on open source, use open source. So I use Firefox.
Yeah.
But
isn't
I did start using Edge.
Is open source.
Edge is open source, isn't it?
It's based on the open source Chromium.
Right. All right. I don't think Edge itself is.
But I don't think the Edge extensions to Chromium are open source. Unless I'm wrong. I don't know. I should look.
I don't know. I can't remember now.
Maybe I'd consider it. I do use it on the Mac and PC.
You do.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
In fact, I use it on the Duo.
It is not open source.
Yeah.
No.
Just the Chromium stuff.
Right. Exactly.
That's why Microsoft can use it.
Sure.
<Yep. laughs> They didn't have to get permission or anything. I think that the iOS community is looking at a lot of different developers saying, where's the widgets? And it's just going to take a little time. But I think you're right on that it's really an opportunity missed, because if you have them now, people will jump on them because there aren't that many.
Yeah, Google has already announced a couple of widgets, including a nice search widget that kind of looks like a search box like you get on Android, you know?
Yeah, I'm not using that one. Yeah.
No, I know, but people probably will.
No, you should do it. Yes, you should totally do it.
Yep.
I'm pretty much on the informational side. If it's got information in it, that's why if I used Outlook for a calendar, I'd want a calendar. If I use Outlook for context, I'd want a contact. Yep.
I think there are a lot of Windows Phone guys, because I hear from them, who you look at this and think, my God, if I could somehow duplicate at least some of that functionality, I have these layouts I used to use that I'm really happy with.
It's not the same. You know what?
I know.
It's really sad, because the Windows Phone interface really was superb. And it's a shame, because it's not duplicated. It's not there on Android or iOS.
Mm. Yep.
I mean, those really were live. These iOS tiles are very static. I mean, those were live. You'd flip them around. I mean, it was great.
It's great.
Makes me sad. Now, Microsoft should open source that and let somebody, try to make it work on Android or something. It would be really cool.
I'm a little surprised something like that never happened, because obviously they have their own launcher and everything, and it in no way goes in that direction.
Yeah, they could have done it. Yeah, maybe they just decided, no.
I think they've given in to
expectations. Fruit of the poison Nokia.
I mean, people are used to the whack-a-mole UI.
Yeah, I hate the whack-a-mole UI.
In and out.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry, Mary Jo, but we really haven't covered all the Microsoft news. In fact, this is irking me. I want to get a PlayStation 5 as well. And in both cases, the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5, it's my opinion. I think that, and I'm judging by the number of eBay listings, I'm accurate. They were snapped up by scalpers, basically.
Yeah, right. I spent 50 minutes. That's 50 minutes, not 15 minutes, trying to get one of these things, either configuration, either Xbox All Access or not. Four or five, I guess it was five different retailers. I have five
tabs open to this day, which I refresh constantly to Target, Best Buy, Newegg, Microsoft, Walmart.
They all Oh,
so
I had
wait,
to go
neither
on
of you got consoles? Neither no. of you got in?
Nope.
Anthony Nielsen most from people, our team did.
Yeah, most people didn't.
No, most people didn't because of bots,
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. It was really frustrating. I actually wrote them to complain.
Do you think it's a lack of units or you think it's just scalpers?
No, I think it was, it's a technological.
Scalpers?
I mean, they're sold out. The problem is they're sold out. So they would have sold out to normal people if that's how we could have done it.
Right.
But it was all kinds of problems. First of all the retailers went live at different times. Best Buy would never came live in the time I was doing it. I understand in the second hour they finally came up and then were sold out immediately. But I would get stuff into a cart occasionally. That happened on the Xbox, but it would go to a blank screen and then crash. And then I got through one time on GameSpot, sort of, and then nope, sorry, that's gone. And then on the Microsoft site, I never even got close to anything purchasing. See, I tried, like I said, so many ways.
You know what else was so weird to me? They made this go live right in the middle of Ignite. And I'm not saying everybody who's watching Ignite wants to order an Xbox, but there's quite a few people who probably did, right?
They could have done
time.
It. Like, how about doing it on Monday?
Right. And then, Monday.
I mean,
or Friday.
The thing I noticed with the Ignite, when Ignite opened at what, 11 a.m. ET, right? Yesterday.
Right.
You noticed it didn't start off with the Satya Nadella thing. There was a 20, 25 minute thing where these two goofballs were just kind of talking. And I thought, I bet they did this for Microsoft people who are trying to get an Xbox. I bet that was kind of
really?
Because it was
Really?
I thought that was weird. that was my guess.
So
I thought it was just like a warm-up act for Satya to get the crowd revved so there'd be a lot of virtual applause. No?
Okay. Well, I mean, based on what I heard, I don't think there was much applause. But, maybe.
So, I mean, really, just despite our disappointment, Paul, and that's not to be diminished, it really is a pretty good day for Microsoft, right? I mean, had it not been sold out, it would have been a little embarrassing.
It's
sold out.
That's true.
Within an hour. I mean, however they did it, it was over really quick. So
no, but then
there'll be more pre-sales.
If you're Microsoft tomorrow or Friday, you're Phil Spencer and you come online and say, so I have 10 or 20 or 50 codes to give away for people who want to pre-order.
Sure, make it up to people. What they should be doing is looking at Twitter and people who complained, you know. But they're going to announce it up to more. They're going to open it up to more pre-sales in the coming weeks. So there'll be more of that. And, we'll see.
Right.
You know, they're making them as fast as they can, folks. I don't know what the problem is.
So it's to be
back there.
It's to be expected there'll be more.
Yes.
You know, there'll be tranches
right?
of releases.
Well, even before launch. I mean, in other words, before November, whatever the day is, November 10th or 12th, whatever, they're gonna have more pre-sales. So this is not the end of pre-orders. There'll be more.
Okay.
Yeah, same with Sony. Both companies say, we'll have more. But do they announce it, or do you just have to kind of keep refreshing that page?
I don't know how that's going to. I actually don't know.
My finger's getting tired here. I can't keep hitting F5.
All right. Guys, you have a channel here. Chris Capicella, are you listening to this? Because I bet you are. And I bet you know some people who would like to get it.
You know some people who know some people. Keep them busy.
Yeah, you know some people.
Chris, I'll make it easy for you, Chris.
I'm not asking for special favors. I am.
Neither am I.
Are.
No, actually, I'm literally asking for a special. No, I'm not.
Help this poor man. You can save this guy in the purple shirt, or you can turn the page, Chris Capicella.
One way or another. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know what he should do? He should give me 10 codes. He should give me 10 codes.
Give us each one, and then you got 8.
Should be like, I trade you a code for a segment on the Enterprise.
Exactly.
This is the way of the world now. It seems like for everything.
Yep.
For toilet paper, too.
Sure.
I know.
It's just crazy. It's like...
I know. Yep.
Is it there's too many people?
I feel like it's a strategy almost to make it more exclusive.
I don't know.
Yeah. Need either COVID or Thanos, one or the other, but there's too many people. So,
COVID, not COVID, what am I talking about? So video games are one of those things that are just more popular now because of the pandemic, right? I mean, this was always going to be big, don't get me wrong. But, people have spent a lot of this year playing games. Spent a lot of this year watching Netflix, but, you know, doing these kind of entertainment topics. So, yeah, I mean, it's maybe no surprise that like a new video game launch would be a big deal, but I just feel like, geez, Microsoft, seriously, you're just about to push Azure scalability at a show and you can't even like keep a web page going.
I think the actual blame is the obsession with just-in-time production.
Yeah.
Instead of nobody does this anymore, and it's with toilet paper and wet wipes, and nobody wants inventory. They want to build it just in time. Yeah. Just and when demand is consistent and predictable, you can do that.
But you know why? The problem is the cost of these components goes down over time. So if you buy a bunch of these consoles at whatever the price is, and then the cost goes down, you've just done you've screwed, everything gets screwed. So, or you're a retailer, you get stuck with these boxes, they're not selling, and then they go sale priced and you're screwed, you know? And so it's understandable, but I mean, you telegraphed this thing. We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It wasn't like we woke up one day and it's like, oh my God, it's on sale. Run down to the store.
And I kind of blame myself because I woke up at 8 a.m.
Right.
And I mean, right, come on.
Right in the thick of it.
It was over by the time I could rub my eyes and jump out of bed. Yeah. I should have set the alarm. I don't know.
You know what it reminds me of? When they used to have hotel reservations for Ignite and for Build, and every single time, like the minute you'd get in there, it'd be sold out, right? Yeah. It's like, what happened?
But and that was a very constrained supply, right? You only have so many hotel rooms. You can't add more. Yeah. You're not manufacturing hotel rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll use the data from this to, bump the production up or something. And
telemetry or something.
They can. Yeah. Telemetry is.
Yeah. I don't think it's some of it's COVID and some of it's that we're all playing games because I still can't get a Nintendo Switch 6 months in. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Didn't NVIDIA have the same problem with their new RTX cards?
Yep, RTX. Yep.
Yep.
Same thing.
Same thing. Maybe it's a lot of people staying at home playing games. I think there's a huge sweatpants shortage.
But the difference between NVIDIA and Sony and then Microsoft is the one that has this infrastructure.
Right.
They're not hosting it on AWS.
It happens to Amazon. I mean, to Apple. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it does it? Because I got to say, I have a much easier time getting through with Apple. The difference between Apple and Microsoft is this. If I went to buy an Apple Watch, which I've since actually canceled, but I...
What?
I know. Hold on. So it was later in the day that it was available for pre-order.
Right.
And so the kind I had ordered with the one, solo band was going to come in. It was like September 30th, and I couldn't do that because we're going to be away next week. And I didn't want it to arrive at the house. And so I went back and changed it. And then I'm like, what if I get a more complicated band? Maybe that will push it out. And it did. It pushed it out to the middle of October. Yeah. But that's the thing. Apple's like, oh, we're going to ship you the thing. We're not going to tell you it's out of stock. We're going to ship it in 2 weeks later than we ship it to everyone else, or 4 weeks later, whatever it is, depending on what you ordered. That's the way you handle that. Apple took my money. Well, maybe they didn't take it technically, but they reserved my money. They put the order through, sent me a bunch of emails. Done.
Yeah.
Microsoft's like, out of stock.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Out of stock.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, that's what Apple does. They slip the ship date.
Yep. And most people are going to be like, yeah, fine. They might go around and look and see maybe I could get one on Amazon or if I show up at a store somewhere or whatever. But they'll keep that order. And as a result, I think you get more orders overall by keeping people happy.
Right.
You're giving them something.
You can still buy it. You just won't get it for a week or two. Actually, you should have bought it because mine said the 28th and it's coming today, 5 days early. I think they had it because of customs.
I understand. By the way, that's another thing Apple does, and I swear to God, they do that on purpose. They underpromise and overdeliver.
Yeah,
so
that then you're happy. All the time. Yep. Always better to get it sooner.
It's the best.
Smart.
Yep. But I can't rely on it. If I'm, we're going on that little road trip thing, so I can't.
So it wasn't the case that you just sobered up and reflected on your life and said, "What do I want this watch for?"
No, actually, the reason I so. I have to get something else because this thing that I'm wearing right now is too dim for me to read, and I want something with color. But the reason I got it was just because of all the combinations and stuff that it does. But now I've been reading reviews, and actually the blood oxygen sensor is useless. So I might just go with something I know already like a Fitbit smartwatch instead. Yeah. So I'm just going to wait until I'm going to read some more reviews and think about it. I've been looking at the Galaxy Watch 3. I guess you never know, but probably end up with a Fitbit, I bet.
Have you had an Apple Watch before? Sense.
Yeah, I had the first one.
Yeah.
I use Android primarily. I mean,
That's the thing. It's no good if you're not in a, like, this is true of all the Apple ecosystem is to be 100%. You can't be half in. You got to be all in, man.
That's part of the problem, of course. Yep.
The Fitness Plus thing, for instance, you really want to have an Apple TV too, because then you can, right? Or an iPad, or maybe both.
Yeah, or both. Yeah, of course.
There are no fools.
It's only a matter of time before the Apple devices in my house rise up and overthrow the government in here.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. Actually, so it was a little disappointing because I did rush to those pages and I could buy controllers like crazy.
Mm. Right.
But I don't want a controller.
Actually, I do want a controller. So, yeah, they didn't actually announce anything that interesting with controllers, by the way. So there's a white and black controller, which, of course, are the ones you see with the two consoles. $60, which is cool. They didn't raise prices on anything. The only new one they announced was a blue and white controller, which to me looks like a Sony controller. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little, maybe throw a bone out there for the PS guys that want to come over to our side of the fence. But then they have all the other things like the PC kit, where you can do it wirelessly or with a dongle, which is for better. A dongle or with a wire, right? So either one of those will actually give you better connectivity than Bluetooth. Although Bluetooth on the new controllers is probably pretty good. And then they announced that they have that program where you can customize your Xbox controller. They're shutting that down in mid-October, and then they're going to bring it online again with the new controller types.
Retool it.
Not for the holidays, but sometime, I think, in early 2021.
Yeah, I like that feature a lot.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times, so it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
That's about it. And then I mentioned at the top of the hour, in case you missed it and thought I was joking, Halo 3 ODST. is available. This is the fifth Halo game to be remastered on PC, right? So Halo Reach, 1, 2, 3, and then this is 3 ODST. We remember it's Orbital Drop Shock Troopers, as we figured out a couple of shows ago.
Yeah.
This is the game that takes place at the same time as Halo 3 in the game universe, but you're a different group of people. So it's not Master Chief. So it's one of the, I think it's the two games in the Master Chief collection that are not featuring Master Chief. $5 standalone, which is awesome. It's a good game. And then if you have Master Chief Collection, PC or console, you'll just get it. That's cool.
Have you tried the streaming on the new Xbox app on Android?
I have. And it wasn't good for me, and I don't know why. So I've actually tried this before because I had it in I don't remember. There's a couple of different Xbox apps, and if you were in the preview program for something, so whatever it was, you could get different things. But I've actually streamed a game from my Xbox console to my phone before, and it worked fine, other than the fact that the screen's so tiny, I can't see anything. I tried it again with this. So there's a new version of the Xbox beta app on Android. It's been completely rewritten. It's got new UI. It's really nice. This app crashed continuously for me. I think I crashed it 14 times or something in 10 minutes. It was crazy. Like, and it would get to different points. Like, it would try to connect to my Xbox and then it would crash. And then it would connect to my Xbox. I'd launch the game and it would crash. And I'd come back and I'd be in the game and I'd be getting shot because I wasn't really there because I was trying to do it remotely. And then it was just kind of a bad experience. But it might have been partially because of the Wi-Fi in my house and the place I was. Maybe it was a little further away, or maybe it's something with the particular phone I was using. I don't know. But that's a cool feature. So just so people know, you know, if you have this Xbox app on Android, you can obviously stream, and you pay for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you can stream the game, the cloud streaming games, the Project X cloud games, 167 games, right? Soon to be over 200. This is another feature, and I don't think you need anything special for this. I think you just have to have an Xbox in the app. And so you can be in a different room from your Xbox, stream a game from the console over Wi-Fi to your phone, use an Xbox controller and a clip or whatever. Or if you have an Android tablet, that would work there too, and play the games remotely. And it should work, because I actually have tried this in the past and it was fine. I don't know what happened to me the other day, but it was not working great the other day for sure for me.
All right.
Yes.
Let's go to the back of the book, and we'll do that in just a second. Yes. Take a break. Take a breath. Get over the PTSD from not being able to get a Xbox pre-ordering.
I'm still switching because of
shaking. Yeah. And we're going to mention a great sponsor, one we love deeply. They've been with us all year, and I'm just a fan of ExpressVPN, so much so that I use it all the time. There's three reasons to use a VPN, and we've talked about this many times before. Obviously, the chief reason people use it for security, especially when you're on open Wi-Fi access point or a network you don't trust, it encrypts all your traffic so nobody can snoop on what you're doing, and that's awesome. But we're not, people aren't getting around much anymore. So that's not the only reason people use a VPN. The other reason you might even want to use it at home is to prevent snooping from your internet service provider. At home or on your phone, your carrier or your ISP can see everywhere you go. They can actually look at and see your internet history, believe it or not. And they can, and do completely legally sell it to marketers. So there's, you know, a lot of reason you might not want that information to be part of, you know, your dossier on the internet. And a good VPN will do that. Now, I have to point out, it's important to choose the right VPN because you're just kicking the privacy can down the road. The same issues you would have with the ISP, you might have with the VPN provider. So that's why it's really important to choose the right VPN provider. And if it's a free VPN, chances are they are snooping on you and selling that information, not ExpressVPN. They guarantee your privacy. And we know that for a couple of reasons. First of all, you read the privacy policy. If that's been verified by independent third-party audits. They also use a technology called Trusted Server that is really cool. It's a sandboxed VPN server that runs in memory only and cannot write to the hard drive. So when you log into a server, they spin up a Trusted Server instance just for you, just for your connection. It can't log, can't keep track of anything. And when you leave, it goes gone. So they actually cannot log you. And that's been verified by an independent third party. We also know, though, from news stories over the past years, it's not unusual, especially in authoritarian countries, that the authorities, instead of, you know, getting a warrant, will just come and take the servers. And this happened. It happened in Turkey. They just came and took the servers, but there was nothing on them. So they weren't able to use it for their prosecutions. So all of this is encouraging. It really means ExpressVPN is fully private. So secure privacy, those are the first two reasons. There's one more reason that really is timely. You can watch more TV. ExpressVPN is so fast. That's another thing. That's kind of like a subtext of all of this. Some cheaper VPNs, a lot of VPNs, slow you down. You're going through their server, so that extra hop, plus their server isn't that fast, and it slows you down. Not ExpressVPN. They're fast enough you can watch HD video. They're great. In fact, I often just leave it on, don't even think about it. You can put it in your router and be private all the time, and you won't even notice the speed difference. That's how good ExpressVPN is. Fast speeds. You can stream high-quality videos with zero lag. And it's not just me saying this, by the way. ExpressVPN is the number one VPN in the world, according to Wired, The Verge, CNET, many tech experts. These are independent reviewers who have absolutely no axe to grind who say it's the best. Protect yourself with the VPN I use, I trust, I love, ExpressVPN. I've tried a lot of them. I have tried almost all the VPNs. This is the one I stay with. ExpressVPN.com/windows. You'll get an extra 3 months when you sign up for a year. That's the most economical. That's what I would recommend. ExpressVPN.com/windows. And we thank you so much for supporting Windows Weekly by using that address. ExpressVPN.com/windows. Let's kick off the back of the book, Paul Thurrott. Time for a tip of the week.
Yeah, so I mentioned up front that Microsoft finalized Windows 10 version 20H2 last week. Given the huge success at which the last few releases have gone or have been, I assume everyone wants to install it immediately, so I can tell you how. actually, I shouldn't say this anymore, but I think Mary Jo and I both felt like the last release was going to go great. It didn't.
No,
this is
still not, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So yeah. This is a very minor update over that. So here's the way I'll phrase this. If you're already on 2004, then there's no reason not to.
Waste no time.
It's okay. This is a cumulative update. It literally takes front to back 5 to 7
How would you get it, though? Do you have to get – you have to be an insider, right? You can't get it
now. Yeah, so you go into settings. You go turn on Windows Insider, release preview.
Okay.
Reboot.
Okay.
Check for updates. You'll get the 20H2 update. Reboot. Seriously, it takes like 3 minutes. Go back in, and then you go into the Insider thing and just tell it to – you could either – you could sign out of the Insider program, or you could just say – when the next major version of Windows is released, this is a little check or a slider for this. Just get me, take me out, and that's.
Oh, that's perfect. So you don't have to do that window thing anymore. That's perfect.
Right.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's there's no magic window you have to worry about. So it's super fast. Now, as to the why would you do this? I don't have a huge list of reasons. There's, it's just the next version of Windows. I mean, honestly, I can't. There are no major new features.
But it fixes problems with 2004,
Yeah. This is the new start menu. I don't know. There's really nothing.
There's no features you want.
Nothing major, no.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it was kind of that way with 2004, to be honest, unless you resume WSL.
Well, WSL 2 was the big thing, right? So, I mean, last week when I first published this, the one reason not to do this was if you were using WSL 2, there was a bug in 20H2 in that initial build, but that's been fixed. So if you do it now, you're all set. Everything will work with regards to WSL. Good. Yeah.
And how's about an app pick?
Yeah, so in a weird coincidence, over the past few days, three of the I was going to say major browsers. I guess they're not the top two browsers, but the other ones have all been updated. So. Firefox 81 is out. They have a new theme. You have to enable it by default. It's kind of a purple and pink theme, which I think is not going to be everyone's deal, but I actually kind of like it. But that's kind of the big thing there, I would say. There's a new version of Opera on both mobile and desktop. They're on version different version numbers for some reasons. But they've completely redone how Settings Sync works, and they've added a new feature where you can actually, on your Opera on desktop, Mac or Windows, can bring up it's a barcode, basically, or a QR code in the app, and then you hold your phone up to it with Opera Mobile, and then you're syncing. You know, so it's kind of a fun way to do that. And then because macOS Big Sur is for some reason coming out later, right? That was the only OS that didn't happen this past month. Apple made Safari 14 available to the previous two versions of macOS. So if you're on the Mac and you use Safari, you don't have to wait for the release of macOS Big Sur to get the update to Safari. That's out now, and it's obviously it's a free update. So,
and there's some nice new privacy protections in Safari. It's worth doing. Okay. Wow, that was quick. Guess you really want to get to Ignite.
I'm as tired of my own voice as everyone else is.
Okay. So. Well, then let's get to Ignite with Mary Jo Foley's Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Great. So if you want to check out some of the goodies that have been surfaced during Ignite, there's a few ways to do it. One thing you can get is the Book of News, the very same one that we got as journalists.
Nice.
Anybody can look at this, right? So rather than give you the URL, I'll just say search in your favorite search engine for Ignite 2020 Book of News, and you will find it. And if you click on it, the best thing about this version of the Book of News is it gives you the live links to every blog post that they mention. So if you are reading and you see something that you want to follow up on, you just go to the link and boom, you go right to the blog post, which is handy.
Nice.
So other places you might find some good resources. MyIgnite.microsoft.com, that's the main site. If you register, you'll be able to use the session scheduler and you can look at all the sessions that they've done so far. They're all recorded and available for free for you to look at your leisure. And then there's a whole bunch of other sessions that I don't believe overlap with these that are on adoption.microsoft.com/virtual-hub. So that's adoption.microsoft.com/virtual-hub. And that has a whole bunch of really detailed product sessions there that you might want to check out. Like if you really want to delve into something like Microsoft Lists or Windows Virtual Desktop or any of the developer news that they had, you can probably find it on that site. And as we said at the top of the show, if you want to check out Paul and I with the Patch and Switch guys, who are Rick Klaus and Joey Snow and Jeff Sandquist, who heads up Microsoft Learn, among other things at Microsoft, will all be on at 4:15 Eastern today on ignite.microsoft.com. myignite.microsoft.com live, giving our recap of the show.
In 20 minutes. That's why we're rushing to get you out of here. Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. You do have a code name, though. I don't want to.
I do.
Short shrift. I do. Yes.
So, this was very funny. Jeff Teper, one of the main corporate vice presidents at Microsoft, who heads up Teams, OneDrive, and SharePoint, had a long session where he talked a lot about Teams at Ignite. But at the end, he did a little Apple thing. He's like, wait, I have one more thing. And his one more thing was something we have never heard about so far to date, called Project Nucleus. And Paul will be very interested in this, because when I started digging around on Project Nucleus, I found out they're talking about it as going beyond progressive web apps in terms of capabilities. What it is a sync engine that they're building into certain Microsoft web apps, so that when you're offline, you can do a lot of things with things like lists and, at one point, probably in the future, Teams and other apps. And then as soon as you connect back up, it'll sync automatically. But while you're offline, you can still do all kinds of things like sorting lists and filtering lists. And you can actually work offline and have the changes so
You probably don't know this, but I'm curious if this is...
it's a service worker.
Like, in other words, it's technically a PWA, but what they're doing is something on the back end that does the sync bit. Which is fine.
Yep,
like what I would hate for this is an embrace and extend thing on
I don't think PWA, it's an embrace and extend thing. I don't. Okay. They're using pieces of OneDrive Sync and SQLite as a kind of metadata store for lightweight processing on the client end, I believe. And then they go up to the cloud to sync, obviously. There's no connection with this in Fluid Framework. I kind of was thinking, oh, is this related to Fluid Framework? Not really, because that's aimed at a different problem, right? That's more about making collaboration and co-authoring fast so that you can have components in your documents that automatically update. So they're kind of parallel tracks that they're doing, this Nucleus thing and Fluid Framework. But yeah, go check out some of the stuff. If you look at any of the sessions on Microsoft lists, you'll probably see mentions of Nucleus. So he went nuclear with Nucleus, that Jeff. He did.
I understand Paul's hesitation because that the whole idea of PWAs is they're cross-platform, and this would make this would be specific to Microsoft.
But it sounds like that should be okay. It sounds like
I think it should be okay. Yeah. They're not trying to say PWAs are terrible and we're doing this instead. That's not how they're positioning it.
Right. They're just better on Windows.
Yeah.
Well, better if you're using web apps that have to do with OneDrive and SharePoint to start, right?
Right. So, they're not making this available to others. This is just for their apps.
Right. In other words,
I believe it's just for their apps.
To support their services is what it sounds like. So I'll look into this.
But so another developer could add that to their PWA.
Yeah, their own Microsoft OneDrive / SharePoint web app portal kind of thing.
Got it. This should really be a service worker. I think there are offline service workers, so I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, so there's not a lot of information yet about this, so I'd say stay tuned.
Yeah.
But they teased it at Ignite as their one more thing, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Any support for PWA is more than welcome.
I know. Yep, agree.
Paul and I are big fans.
Yeah.
Now, I missed breakfast. You wouldn't have a beer that could be used as a breakfast food, would you?
Oh, I might.
Also, that possibly has pot in it, because I got to tell you.
Yeah. I'm a little worried. Is this a CBD version? I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not bringing that into the equation here. So the reason the beer of the week is from Wicked Weed Brewing, which is in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, I love Asheville. Yeah.
So here's why I picked this beer. It's called French Toast. And if you looked at the Ignite feed this week on Twitter, everybody was posting pictures of their breakfast, because one of the big things at Ignite is everybody's always eating bacon and all the Microsoft pancakes and croissants, right? So everyone was posting their breakfast from home. So I thought, you know what? A beer.
You should post this.
A breakfast beer.
Here's how I started the day.
Exactly.
With an Imperial Stout.
I know. 8.4% Imperial Stout.
That was one of my first tweets.
Yep.
Very early on Twitter, I wrote, beer for breakfast.
You did?
Sign of greatness? Yeah. No, sign of weakness or sign of greatness?
Well, we know the answer to that. Anyway, this beer, if you get a chance to find it, or, you know, there are other French toast beers out there, too, that they don't, some, I don't believe they make it with French toast, but they make it taste like French toast, right? So they put in vanilla, cinnamon, maple syrup, and the dough flavor is kind of simulated by the malts in the beer.
Oh,
and so
wow.
When you smell it and taste it, it's kind of like French toast, and you're drinking it at 8.4%. So, yeah.
Oh, I want
That's
this.
That's the beer.
It's a cakey stout.
It is a cakey stout for breakfast.
You don't really breakfast see cakey in a description of like a wine, you know?
No,
not really.
A cakey red.
I'm looking for a dry rosé with kind of a cakey.
Although there is a very well-known Napa winery called Cake Bread. So
that has excellent wines.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent wines.
Yep.
So, When my kids used to go to a school that had a lot of winemakers, and my son came home and said, "You won't believe one of my classmates' name is Jack Cakebread."
And they said, "Oh, uh-huh.
You might want to get to know him better."
That's just a witty name.
Yeah. No, it's the family name. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay, we did it. It's 1 o'clock.
We did it.
Time to get you guys off to your Ignite event. We do this show every Monday. If Leo's on time at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC, you can watch the live or listen to the live streams at twit.tv/live. Get your on-demand versions from twit.tv/WW or YouTube, or subscribe in your favorite podcast, because this is one show you don't want to miss every week. Mary Jo Foley's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul Theroux is at Theroux.com. He's also published his Field Guide to Windows 10 at leanpub.com, where you can pick up a copy right now. Have fun at Ignite, you two.
Thanks.
Give my regards to Satya. And if you don't see him, just then the, what are they, the patch and twist?
Patch and switch.
Patch and switch,
patch
guys.
Patch and switch. Yeah, Rick and Joey.
Patch and switch. Yep. Have a great one. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
I'm Jason Howell, host of Hands on Android, where each week I take a look at the Android operating system and really dive deep into what it can do for you and how it can improve your quality of life, whether it be tips and tricks on how to use it better, whether it can be little known secrets that open up a world of possibilities. So many topics to dive into, including your emails. Subscribe by going to twit.tv/HOA. We'll see you there.